you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can open them to the Old Testament book of Joshua, and you can keep your thumb in there. We're going to be taking a look at Joshua chapter 1 this morning. And folks, it's a new year, at least for me. I wasn't here last week. It's a new year, and I wanted to start this series last week. And so I guess the Lord was just giving me one more week to pray about it and to refine it more, I suppose. But this is the second year where we will be taking the month of January and into February, looking at a series called The State of the Church. Now, I realize that some of you are here with us this morning in January 2019, and you were not necessarily here with us in January 2018, and so this is not your second time going through a series like this. And so if you're in that case, I say, well, that's fantastic, because that's exactly what we hope to do as a church. We hope to continue to expand the message of the gospel, and we hope to continue to have people accepting faith in Christ and journeying with us. So I just really want to take a moment to remind us all about the vision of this as we get started. You might be familiar if you're familiar with our neighbors to the south and some of their processes. You might be familiar with the State of the Union address that the U.S. president offers on an annual basis. This is something that the United States has done for decades, ever since their President Franklin Roosevelt, and it serves as an opportunity for the U.S. president to give an assessment of the economy, their legislative agendas, national priorities, and just really address the nation about the state of things at that particular moment. And it's become so ingrained and so important in the cultural process of our neighbors to the south that they've embedded this within the Constitution, that it actually has to happen on an annual basis, whether the president wants to or not, I suppose. Now, in Canada, we have a little bit of a different practice. It's called the throne speech. It doesn't happen every year, but it gives our prime minister a chance to establish priorities and an agenda for the nation. And so, borrowing from that thought, I am very fond of taking the month of January every year and talking about the state of the church and talking about the things that the Spirit of God has been laying on my heart and hearing from our congregation as we are evangel. That was my first series ever, as I shared with you, that we are the church, and hearing collectively what the Spirit of God is speaking to us as we set our focus for the year ahead of us. And so every January, we're going to spend some time talking about the state of the church. And we'll talk about the church in general. We'll also talk specifically about Evangel Assembly, and everything we talk about will be coming from God's Word to us. And then, at the end of this series, as last year you may remember, we concluded with our very own State of the Church address, where we established some priorities for the coming season of ministry that we feel the Holy Spirit has laid on our heart. Now, last year, we established four particular strategic priorities. Does anyone remember what those were? You might remember a little bit about them. They were on a poster throughout the church throughout the year. We had four. And you know what? It's really fantastic, because we've made some accomplishments in these four areas. As we listened to God, as we looked around, and as we set four priorities, four things to pray about, four things to lean into, we saw God do some stuff in our assembly. One of the priorities was to refresh our Sunday morning children's ministry. And in March, we're launching a brand new format. And now that we're through Christmas and through all of this, we're going to release more information. We had an information session in the fall. We're going to have everything ready for parents. And as we sang at our Christmas banquets, if you haven't been asked to volunteer yet, you will be next year. That's for sure. Now, it rhymed at the Christmas banquet. I don't remember how Mandy wrote that. How did it go, Mandy? Do you recall? Nah, she can't remember on the spot either. But that was one of our strategic priorities from last year, and we saw the framework and everything come together for that, and we're ready to go with recruitment and launching that. You know, there was another thing we set as a strategic priority last year too, and that was recruiting an assistant pastor. And we prayed into that long throughout the year, and then we thought we were really close at the end of the summer, and then things just came apart. And I remember I stood at the pulpit in September last year and said to you, unfortunately, I don't know if that priority is going to get accomplished, but let's pray. And the Lord's timing is always fantastic, isn't it? The Lord's timing is always best. We did have a number of applicants. We were just, as leadership, waiting to find the applicant that we felt the Spirit was telling us that, yes, this would suit us best. And I wasn't sure, given September, when we had kind of exhausted that pile, I wasn't sure we were going to be able to do that this last year. And truth be told, we couldn't do that. But we made it a matter of prayer on Wednesdays, just telling the Lord, you know, we've set this out as a priority. We felt that you were leading us in this direction. We needed to provide us with a candidate. And at the 11th hour, the Sunday before Christmas, or two Sundays before Christmas, I announced to you that we had wrapped it up. We had the deal made, and Pastor Aaron and Rachel Shaw will be joining us at the end of February. So I think it's amazing when we put our ear to the Lord and we share what's on our heart with Him, and we hear from Him, and then we set things down at the beginning of year that, Lord, these are the things that we feel we're going to pray into, and these are the things we feel that you are doing this year, and let's keep them in front of us, and let's pray into these things. It's amazing the way that things happen, and then we can look back over the year and see this is the way the Lord has moved. This is what the Lord has done. And I mean, I've said nothing about the fact that we had two baptismal services and two membership services last year as a result of foundations, as a result of another one of our priorities of helping all these people grow deeper in their walk with Christ. And so, Sunday, February 10th, 2019 is going to be our State of the Church address for 2019. Sunday, February 10th. And we're going to establish about four strategic priorities for this year that we feel are good to us and good to the Holy Spirit and the Lord. And we're going to move forward in these ways as Evangel Assembly this year. Now, we need to get ready for this. And this is what I need you to do for me this morning. Do with me. First, in the weeks heading up to Sunday, February 10th, I need us to be listening to God about our own lives and about our church, about Evangel Assembly. I want you to ask the Lord what He's put in your heart for this year, and what He has put in your heart for your church, and what you can be, how you can be a part of that in your church. So that's a little bit open-ended. That might be easier for some of us, but I want you to take some focused time throughout the weeks ahead and just simply ask the Lord these things. And then there's a second thing I'd like you to do as well. Each year with our State of the Church series, we have a State of the Church survey. And this year, because we are technologically advanced, you can complete this paper copy or online, which is fantastic. But everyone received a copy in their church mailbox. If you haven't checked your church mailbox, do so after the gathering today. And this just simply helps us here as leadership hear what God has put on your heart in an organized way. You can certainly always drop in and chat with us. But it asks things about the priorities that you feel the Lord has put on your heart for this year. It asks ways that you feel you will grow spiritually best this year, and it's just a way that we can create conversation about what the Lord is doing. And then there's a third way that I want you to help me and join with me in preparing for Sunday, February 10th, and it's starting next Sunday. Our Maritime PAOC district has set aside a week of fasting and prayer, and they have specific prayer priorities for each day starting next Sunday and leading up for the entire week, and I'd like you to join me in that as well, and we'll have those priorities and those prayer focuses set aside and printed for you next Sunday. We'll also put those on social media, and if you would like a text message reminder each day with an encouragement and a reminder to pray, we can set that up for you as well. Sharon's our guru at the information booth, So whatever you want, you tell Sharon, and she'll make sure she passes it along. But if you would like those text message reminders, you can just simply give her your cell phone number and a note that says, and we'll add you to that system. But we would love for you, however you do it, social media, text, or in paper, however is most convenient for you. The important part is that I'd like to invite you to join me and to join all the rest of the churches in our district in a week of fasting and prayer starting next Sunday as we ask the Lord to bless us and to speak to us as individuals, and then also us as a gathering and us as a church. And so those are some ways that we are going to collectively hear from God and discern these priorities for 2019. So please take an opportunity to speak with God on your own, complete the State of the Church survey, and join with us next week for an intentional week of fasting and prayer. But today, to get started, we're opening to the book of Joshua. And here in Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read a couple of verses, and we're going to look into this and see what the Lord is speaking to us about through this morning. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here and go in to take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your very own. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, that you use it to encourage and to lift up our hearts. Bless us as we look into this. And as we hear from you and look into what you are going to do in our lives and in our church this year. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen. Folks, this passage that we just read in the book of Joshua, it records the one focus, the one vision, or in the language that I used here today, maybe the one strategic priority that the Lord had imparted to Joshua when he was beginning his leadership over the people, over the nation of Israel. That one strategic priority, that one focus, that one vision, no matter what we call it, was this: Joshua, prepare yourselves because you are going to lead the people into the land I have promised them. That was the one focus. That was the one vision. And he starts off with this by saying, be strong and be courageous. I mean, it exposes the fact that even a leader such as Joshua, one in Scripture, one that we look up to, even Joshua was prone to periods when maybe he did not feel strong and he did not feel courageous. I remember all the time when we talked with Joan Robinson about prayer, and she said that there was a time when someone asked her to pray, and she said, I can't pray out loud. And so there's times in our lives when we might feel, now we can't do these things that the Lord is speaking to our heart, they're too big, they're too magnificent, they ought to be done by other people. And maybe Joshua was experiencing this. He was just taking the helm of the leadership in Israel, and he probably didn't feel all that strong and courageous, perhaps. But the Lord says to him, be strong, be courageous, because this is your mandate, this is your focus. You are going to take my people Israel into the land that I have promised them. And he reiterates it. The Lord says it again in verse 7. He says, be strong and be very courageous. And then he gives them some information. He helps them understand how to do this. How are you going to be strong and courageous and take the nation of Israel into the land that's been promised for them? He says this, obey the law that Moses left for you. This is one of the ways that you're going to accomplish the things that I have set out for you, or the one thing, the big thing, Joshua, that I have set out for you. He says, obey the law that Moses gave to you. Now we get some instructions here in this Old Testament passage that made sense to Joshua and to the nation of Israel, but we have to understand them in a New Testament context that we are in today so that we can understand the applicability of this to our lives. We understand that the law of Moses was the thing that kept the nation of Israel in right standing with God at this point in the Old Testament. If they sinned, they sacrificed to cover that. We read in the book of the law, if they had a sickness in their camp, well, there was ways to deal with that. And they'd show themselves to the priest, and they would have a certain number of days in quarantine, and so on and so forth. This law kept them in right standing with the Lord. If you read through the book of Exodus and Leviticus, you'll find funny laws, like, if your ox were to gore your neighbor's ox and you didn't know what to do about it, well, the book of Leviticus can help. You see, there's some aspects of this law in the Old Testament that is easier to understand than others simply because of our context, because of our cultural context here. But the point is this, that we need to bring it over and understand what the Lord was saying to Joshua to understand how we can prepare ourselves to move forward in the ways that the Lord has directed us. We understand that as New Testament Christians, we are not held to the letter of the law as was the Old Testament Israelites. We can read this. Paul says in Romans 8:1-4, he says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. He says what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the flesh, God did it by sending his own Son in the likeness of flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. And we do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's a difference between what the Lord is speaking to Joshua in following the law of Moses and what we would hear today when we read that. I teach a course on Galatians, and inevitably, when we get to Galatians chapter 3 and onward through Galatians, students will say to me that the law has been abolished. The law is no more. The law was a bad thing, as though it was a mistake of the Lord that he gave them the law. And so he had to come back and say, that was a bad, rough copy, and I'm going to make a good copy. But actually, what Scripture teaches us is not that exactly. Because the Lord didn't come to abolish the law, but let's read what Matthew says. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17. Don't think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. We might better say, as the passage in Romans does, that through Christ, we can live up to the righteous requirements of the law. That the righteous requirements of the law are fully met in us who walk according to the Spirit of God. And now we're getting closer to bringing what the Lord spoke to Joshua into our day. In the Old Testament, it was the law that kept people holy. that kept them righteous, that kept them in right standing with the Lord. But Ezekiel's prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, and again Ezekiel chapter 36, talks about the Lord removing that heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh, putting a new spirit inside of his people. And so today we stand here empowered by the Spirit of God to be witnesses, as Luke tells us in the book of Acts, and we stand empowered by the Spirit of God to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law, as Paul says in the book of Galatians. And when the Lord speaks to Joshua about his singular focus being on the law that was delivered through Moses, I think the equivalent encouragement for us today, if I were to restate it, would be this. The Lord would say to us, be strong and be very courageous. Be very careful to walk with an ear to the Spirit of God in our hearts each day. Be very careful, he says. Be very strong and very courageous. Walk with an ear to the Spirit who is in us, if we are indeed in Christ every day. Now, verse 8, the Lord gives, again, further instructions to Joshua. Verse 8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, and then you will be prosperous and successful. Don't let this book, the Lord is saying to Joshua, don't let the instructions of this law leave your mouth. Instead, stated positively, keep them in your mouth at all times. Meditate on them day and night. Now again, we bring this over to our New Testament church context, and the parallel encouragement will be this, to keep the language of the Spirit on our tongue at all times. To speak what the Spirit directs, to be continually listening to what the Lord is saying. How do we hear what the Lord is saying, folks? I mean, that's an important question. It's a little bit of an ambiguous question sometimes. How do I hear what the Lord is saying? I mean, I throw that out sometimes. I tell you here in the State of the Church series, I want you to have an ear to the Lord to hear what He is saying. I mean, I wish the Lord would speak to us as He spoke to Samuel, to an audible voice all the time in all of us. It would be easier maybe, but the Lord doesn't always speak like He spoke to Samuel in the Old Testament. But how does the Lord speak? Well, first of all, folks, when people say they have trouble discerning what the Lord has said, I will tell them a great place to start is right here, because the Lord has said quite a bit. Indeed, the Lord has said quite a bit already. And we can read it in the Word of God. And so, as the Lord is encouraging Joshua not to let this word depart from your mouth, meditate on it day and night. Folks, this is one of the primary ways that we can hear what the Lord is saying, that we can be in tune to what the Spirit is saying, because this isn't just text on a page. This isn't just a book like we can read off a shelf. It's great to read encouraging books by mentors and people who are walking the Christian faith, and they tell us about their experiences and about their wisdom, and that's fantastic. But this book is different. This book is called the Living Word of God. And you know, maybe it took me a while in my Christian journey to realize that, but the Word, it's not just a word. It has power. It is effective in our lives when we read it. I remember, and I shared with you before, when we were having our third son, Spencer, and Mandy was having all kind of pregnancy complications. I was a little bit of a basket case, and if it wasn't for Romans 8, and you might think that's a little arbitrary, but if it wasn't for Romans 8, I consider my present sufferings not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in me through Christ Jesus, and so many other affirmations in Romans 8. This word is alive. The Spirit of God uses it to illuminate things in our hearts. You might tell me, I've already read it. I've read the book of Joshua. Well, pick it up and take a chapter a day and read it again, and let the Holy Spirit use it to draw things out into your heart. You might say, I've already read the Gospels in the New Testament. I've already read the Christmas story. So have I. But read it again. Read it again next year at Christmas and allow the Holy Spirit to stir your hearts. Now, I can guarantee, well, I shouldn't say guarantee, but maybe I can, that, you know, we could probably not quote Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, some of those are the really difficult, obscure books. So if you really want to dig into something that's, you know, you haven't read in a while, I would probably suggest dig into one of those and just see what the Spirit reveals. And some days when I read the Word of God, it was good. It's the Word of God, and it was good, and I read the chapter, and it's fine. Other days, by verse 2, I have to stop. Because the Spirit of God is speaking to me through those two verses so strongly, so clearly, and it's either for me or it's about evangel, and I have notes this long that I write down sometimes. But it's the living Word of God. I don't tend to read fiction books twice because I know what happened. And I don't tend to read research or other religious books a second time, unless there's some depth of wisdom. There's some people that I really like to soak in their wisdom and their experiences. I might read them a second time, but the Word of God is different than that, folks. The Word of God is different than that. The Spirit of God takes it and uses it to illuminate our hearts and to illuminate our lives. I can't stress that enough. And so how does the Spirit of God speak? What do I mean when I say listen to God? Well, first of all, folks, read what He's already said. Dig into what the Spirit of God has already said, and then the Spirit will give us even more than we can imagine. The Spirit of God will never give us inspiration or revelation that is contrary to the Word of God or that supersedes the authority of the Word of God. It'll always be, that's the way we can test the prophets, test the spirits, as Paul says in the book of Thessalonians. The Spirit of God will never lead us contrary to what the Word of God says, but He will lead us deeper into a greater understanding of Him and a deeper relationship with Him. And He will speak to us about what He is up to. Isn't it fantastic in the Gospel of John when Jesus says, I do what the Father directs me to do. I do what the Father says. And when we talked about Elijah 2 weeks ago, going on with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he says, I'm just following what the Lord has directed. Folks, we would have so much more, I don't know what the word is. We would move forward so much easier if we did what the Lord directed us to do. And you know what? We are human, and we don't always discern correctly and properly, and there's all sorts of human factors at play that hold us back, that hinder us up, that block the communication with the Lord. But when we listen to the Lord and we take time to do that, to walk with Him, we will move forward as a church a lot easier in doing what the Lord has laid out for us, I believe. And so that's what I want us to do. So the Lord says to Joshua here, meditate on it day and night. Never let it leave your lips or keep it always in your lips. Speak what the Spirit directs. Listen to the Lord. And yes, even leave it to the Pentecostal church to say this, let Spirit-inspired speech be on your tongue. Let yourself pray in the heavenlies as you pray with understanding. Paul says this. Meditate day and night. Pray in the Spirit and pray with understanding continually. Keep the Word in our hearts and recite the Word of God for encouragement and to do battle. There was a lady who shared with me once, she was walking through such a difficult time with panic and anxiety that she could not even go into the grocery store to get groceries without just feeling overwhelmed with just being in the presence of people and everything. And so she would tuck scriptures in her coat pocket and she would take them out when she was getting groceries in the grocery store and read them. She did battle in the spiritual realm with the words found in the Bible, and she was able to get through that time of her life like that. Reminds me of the book of Psalm, the wisdom there. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I can still hear the King James Version in my head because going to Sunday school at Cornerstone Assembly in Arcadia, I guess we were taught the King James Version. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I shall not sin against thee. There's a lot that I remember in the King James of these passages that we learned in Sunday school. But this is the encouragement that the Lord is giving Joshua at this time. Be courageous. Be strong. Stand strong in the word of the Lord. Keep your focus and your vision on me, says the Lord, and you will succeed. Keep your focus and your vision on me, and you will walk in the land that I have promised your forefathers. The Lord says it to Joshua. Now, if we bring it into the New Testament context, it says this: walk in the Spirit, keep your heart focused on the Lord God, and you will walk in all the promises that I have laid out for you in the church that you find in the New Testament, and things that you could never even imagine. Walk in the Lord, and he will take us to the land, to the place that he has promised us. And he's promised us, folks, that the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. He's promised us the harvest is plenty. He's promised us that there are souls, there are people that he is speaking to and drawing, yet there's no harvesters. And so, like a crop that grows up and blooms and flowers and rots and fades back down, is that what he's telling us? Then if we keep our hearts in tune with the Lord, he will bring us the harvest. Because, folks, I don't know about all of you. In fact, I know all of you fairly well now, but when I went into ministry, I didn't just go into ministry to pastor a church of people who were believers to be content and happy, but we have a mission, we have a mandate. I went into ministry for us to accomplish our purpose and our mission and our ministry and our mandate. And that does include building us up, but it includes something more than that as well. And it's not easy, folks. It's not easy to follow what the Lord has laid out here. It's not easy for us to follow what the Spirit speaks to our hearts. If it was easy, then the Lord probably wouldn't have to tell Joshua to be strong and courageous, and then to reiterate it in the verse after, be strong and very courageous. It's the difficult things that we have to be reminded to do. Nobody has to remind me to take a chocolate out of the candy bowl on the counter when I walk by. That's pretty easy. But the garbage can sits right next to the counter, and I have to be reminded all the time that Tuesday is garbage morning. Because I walk by that garbage can all the time. I use it regularly. I have a snack. I throw the trash in there. I see it all the time. But man, how many Tuesdays do I come to work here and text Mandy, hey, could you bring the garbage out? I forgot. Does that happen? That's the truth, isn't it? Or is Joanne Sisko here? No, Joanne Sisko and Mandy and I volunteer at the high school in their breakfast program on Tuesdays. I occasionally show up late because I had to go back home and put the garbage out because I forgot. And it was piling up. No, we don't need to be reminded to do the easy things. We need to be reminded to do the things that don't come easily. And the fact that Joshua had to be reminded to be strong and courageous and to remain close to the Lord daily tells us that this kind of lifestyle will not happen without an intentional effort. Joshua had to maintain his focus and his vision on the Lord. And if he did, then he would lead Israel into the promised land. And Joshua wasn't the only one that the Lord gave a vision or a focus to. The guy that came before Joshua, what was his name, folks? Moses. If you look in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 3, I'll read it for you. Deuteronomy 3, verses 27 to 28, the Lord says to Moses, go on to the top of the mountain and look west and north, south and east. Look at the land with your own eyes, since you're not going to cross this Jordan. But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. You see, the Lord gave Moses a commission and one focus as well. Moses' focus was to raise up and to commission Joshua. And Joshua's focus and commission and vision from the Lord was to take the people into the promised land. Isn't it fascinating that the Lord knows what he's doing? I mean, I say that tongue in cheek. Isn't it fascinating to when we look through the Word of God and we look through history that the Lord has set up the right people in the right time, and when they have an ear to him, he has shared with them what is necessary for the moment to accomplish what the Lord wants to accomplish. Isn't it fascinating that Joseph, though he was sold into slavery and we thought that was tragedy, the Lord can take what we do or what is done to us in hate perhaps, and he can make good come from it, because Joseph was then in a position in Egypt to save the nation of Israel from the famine. Moses was directed to come back and release the nation of Israel from Egypt after they had stayed there too long and been enslaved. And now Joshua is to keep them close to the Word of God, to bring them into the land that has been promised to them. And to this very day, the Lord has a focus, a general focus for the church. I think he has specific focuses and specific ministries that different bodies and different churches excel in, and he has blessed them with. But he has a general focus, and it's to be harvesters. I said that a few weeks ago. It's the Great Commission. The central question that we ought to be asking ourselves moving into 2019 is how we can be built up in the Lord, so that we can be equipped to lead people to their inheritance in the Lord. To lead them to an inheritance in Christ that was prepared for them in advance. Maybe that the Lord is drawing them to, but they need guidance in. And we can be tempted as churches to go one side or the other. We can be tempted to be a church that's exclusively about creating disciples. We can become the most knowledgeable, the most well-taught, the most intelligent church on the block. But if we don't carry out the other piece, we've fallen short of the Lord's command to be equipped and to go on out into the community. On the other side, we can be a church that is all about being relevant and contextual and reaching out to the community around us, and we can be the hippest, coolest, biggest place going, but if we're not discipling, if we're not making disciples, if we're not walking people to be deeper with the Lord next month than they were this month, then we have fallen short on the Great Commission as well. Because it's not just go, it's go and make disciples, preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there's a fun little Greek thing going on there, but I want to save that for another sermon later on this year. Because one of those is more important than the other of those four. Go, make, preach, and baptize, says the Greek. Of course, there's a third way that churches can go. There's a third option. We can just keep ourselves comfortable and happy so we won't leave. But that's not fun at all. That doesn't even show up anywhere in Scripture. To be a biblical church, we need to be about equipping and about releasing. To be about equipping us and building us up so that we can be released to do the work of the Lord and seeing the harvest. So we need to have internal structures in place to disciple us. We need to have internal structures in place to help us grow spiritually, which is one of the reasons why we're asking on our State of the Church survey, what are some of the ways that you feel will be most important to build you up spiritually in 2019? Because as leadership here, we make a pledge in membership that we would give you the resources necessary to be equipped, and we want to make sure we're doing that. But also, we want to make sure that we have systems in place that we can reach out and draw people to us, those that the Spirit of God is drawing. Because where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, a translation says. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. And so, folks, Moses, Joshua, all kinds of people throughout the Old Testament, even Jesus in the New Testament, followed what the Father spoke to him. And so I want us to get our hearts ready for the strategic priorities of 2019. I want us to get our hearts ready for the Lord's blessing in 2019 so that we can be aware of what the Spirit is doing in our hearts, in our church, and in our community, and that we can walk lockstep with that. And so the next several weeks, as we lead up to the state of the church, and lead up to establishing our priorities for the state of the church, I'm going to teach on a topic that I think is going to be important for Evangel Assembly as we move forward as equippers and as a place where the community comes, those being drawn by the Lord, comes in and is discipled. I think it's an important topic, and it's going to be one that I think will be fitting for this series, State of the Church, and so I saved it for now. Now, folks, this isn't an easy topic. It's discussed at length through Scripture, and I think in the history of our church, it's been discussed at length at Evangel Assembly as well, though not recently. And the topic that I just want to provide some teaching for us on is the role of gender, specifically the role of women in the ministry and leadership of the local church. And so I know there's all sorts of opinions and history on this topic, but I want to trust us that we're going to be able to look biblically at this matter. And not just a verse here or a verse there, but we're going to look at the important context of Scripture, because important things like this, they can't be settled just based on one verse. I know that we can be passionate about these things, and passion is fantastic. I want us to be passionate, but I want us to be passionate and loving about these things at the same time, because at the end of the day, we may not all agree on the same conclusions even after we read the biblical text together, because it's complicated. Scripture was written thousands of years ago in a different language and in a foreign culture. And just like we had to dig into Joshua to understand what the Lord was saying to him, how it would apply to us today, we need to dig into Scripture on this topic. And I want us to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, to trusted leaders, and to one another, so that whatever we say, we can say it with love. And so next week, we're going to start with the book of Genesis, because as my former lead pastor told me, if you get Genesis right, everything else falls into place. And so we're going to start with the book of Genesis, and we're going to move forward from there. But 2019, folks, let's keep our hearts open to what the Lord is going to do in our church, in our lives, and in our community. And let's allow the Lord to continue to shape us into the place that will be best suited to fulfill the Great Commission and His mission for us and our church. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this gathering. And I thank you for 2019, that we have life and we have breath and we are here and we are desiring to get to know you and to move forward, Lord, in the things that you have set in advance for us. Lord, give us an ear to your word and an ear to your spirit over these weeks that are coming up. As we hear from you, as we dialogue together on the state of the church survey, as we fast and pray together starting next Sunday, Lord, speak to us, because we are nothing with our own wisdom except but the wisdom that you impart and have imparted through your word. So be with us, Lord, as we move forward in these ways. In the name of Christ that we pray together. Amen.